this club's about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Three nil.
Sorry for smiling there.
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream comes true for you.
Oh, I can't believe that. I can't believe that. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. And that's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we're bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Woo, sir. How we doing? How we doing? What a way to start the month of December. We got a lot of matches coming down the chute. And that was Carrick's last game with the wheel, sir. The interim with a big, big win against the Gunners. Oh, we needed that. Did we need 3 points? Did we need a result like that at Old Trafford, sir? How we feeling? I was hooting and hollering. My wife was yelling at me, making too much noise. How we doing?
Sir, such a big result. Carrick just mic drop. He's out.
Outie.
Just like, yo, beat Arsenal. I'm out. Rangnick in. I mean, times are changing. Are we on the way back up? Are the boys excited for the Gangan press? I cannot wait. Look. Started off looking a little shaky there. Fred De Gea connect, stop on the keeper. Keeper probably a little dive. VAR, you know, we've seen it all, sir. I mean, what a season.
What a day. What a game. What a
Manchester United. I mean, what we've seen the last month. We were just going through the November recap on the Patreon pod. Oh, my God, what a month. But we are here. Rangnick, Crystal Palace. Come on, a footballing man knows the drill, sir. Like you said, it's just time to just enjoy it. Clean slate. It's going to be an exciting time. Players fighting for spots. They're going to be up for it. They're going to get organized. It's going to take a little bit of time, but I am excited for this new reign, new manager, sir, just in time for Christmas.
It's a great time for a new manager. You know, we've had some things go against us in terms of like how and when the board was willing to react or act in terms of changing the manager, bringing someone else new in. But Carrick, he did his job, steadied the ship, and did leave like a boss, sir. I think we saw some glimpses of decent performance today. Definitely an improvement, but like you said, no real cohesive vision that we hope to see from the new guy, the big man, Ralf Rangnick, sir. We're getting a little bit more German on this pod going forward, sir. He is the big man. We're excited about it. Now it's about players buying into it, which I don't think is going to be a problem, and the board listening to this man, because he's going to be shooting them shots fired, sir. Like I know you like to do, sir. Just shoot it like he sees it, and he's going to be like, what are you doing over here? And I think Glazers, I'm not sure they're ready to answer those questions. Woodward, you think he is? I think that could be the only thing that could screw this up, because otherwise I think he is exactly who we need, and this is exactly what we need it. And just like, let's go, boys. I'm ready to go. I'm ready for some exciting football.
No, exactly. And everything we've heard and read about him, you know, I'm excited. He looks like a serious gentleman. You know, Cameron was on him a lot today.
A lot.
He's pretty serious. Looks like it's going to be hard to impress him. It's a giant task for him. I mean, you think of his career, what he's accomplished. He's a serious individual. He's coming in, doesn't have a lot of time. He's got to get it all right. You know, he's got to get it all right. He's got a great group of players. There's a lot of question marks, sir. Why do you bring in a club builder for only 6 months or however long he's going to get, even less, maybe five, at the wheel, we're going to call it now, because of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer that famously coined that term. And then, you know, he's going to be a consultant. How's that going to work? Who's the next manager going to be? Does he have input in that? Hard to say. But if he can get this team start clicking, clinch top four, avoid the Hansa Franz Cup for us, that could be big. And maybe, you know, they'll just do that interim to manager thing again. I think he'd really need 18 months to change the style of play for Manchester United. So I just question the timeline for him. A lot to do, sir. It's not going to be instant. You know, this is an instant oatmeal. It's going to take Rangnick a little bit of time to get these boys organized.
It is, sir. And you know what? Us United fans, after going through the month of November, we got nothing but time, baby. I got nothing but time. Now it's just
can't get worse.
It can't get worse. It can't. And I'll tell you what, today was so much better than it had been. Villarreal was nice. And Chelsea, even that, sir, we held the line. It was embarrassing at times. And like you said, some of their finishing probably just cost them the 3 points. But we did defend well at moments in that match. And now it's just like, I think give the man time. And I think part of this is like, okay, he would not sign up for less than at least a 2.5 year commitment. The extra 2 years, the Glazers have no idea, bro. Because they're going to just see how this goes. Kind of like they did pre-Ole when he went from being an interim to full-time manager. It's like right now they're kind of just like, let's go with this guy. He seems to know what he's talking about. That guy Mertal we hired, he said he's pretty smart. Let's hire this guy. And like, hey, that's good enough for me because I just want them to listen to smarter people than they are. And he's a smart freaking dude. He should bring in smart dudes. He should call it like he sees it because he's built clubs before. And right now we need a dude. We need a club builder. We just do. And
sir, we need some more dudes.
More dudes? More German dudes?
More dudes. We need some more dudes. At the end of the day, it's like we got to take stock where we're at, right? It was a plane crash. You know, it's like we were like horrific start to the season, sir. Just not clicking on all cylinders. You know, stop the bleeding. Ole loses his job. Carrick comes in. Gets knockout Champions League football, huge. Beats Arsenal, huge. Gets a point away at Chelsea, huge. You know, like at times didn't look great. But as far as where we're at for top four, sir, it's not looking too shabby at the moment. And to get a good experienced manager in, let's just see what happens. Because it's a good time to make the change because it's like we didn't quite get finished as far as top four is concerned. Now we're fighting back. Everything's teed up for Rangnick. We got an easy run of fixtures. Couldn't be a better time for Manchester United. You know, the 3 games under Carrick could have gone the other way. We could be looking for something at Young Boys. It could have been a lot more dicey. So Carrick, little breathing room from him. The interim did his job. I wish him well. I hope he gets a full-time gig somewhere. He's definitely earned it with those 3 games, I think.
He's going to get hired faster than Ole does is the thing. Is like he got his 3 games and he left like a boss. And I bet you that is like, I bet you someone hires him within 6 months, sir.
Exactly. Totally. And he deserves it. And look, he kind of did his, I think, 4 or 5 years at United as a coach. And he got a sniff at the big job. And he resigned. Like, that was a right move. Like, he got it 100% right. And nailed I wish it. Carrick well.
Yeah, because he's a class act and he nailed that perfectly. So just like you said.
But a big, big result. You know, Arsenal kind of walking into Old Trafford with some swagger with a bunch of players I've never heard of. The thing is, when your team is melting down like we were, you're not really paying attention to like what other teams are doing. So, I mean, all these players for Arsenal, it's like having a laugh. What are you going to win with that lot? I don't think so.
You what are you trying to say?
Like Arsenal fans, you know, it could be worse. You could be an Arsenal fan, sir. You know, you can always get worse. United not looking great at times. But you could be an Arsenal fan. Even at their best, they're just losing to us, you know?
Yeah. What we said, famous say is like, Spurs make Arsenal fans look tough. Yeah, I'm good on Arsenal. That was a big win, though, because we've actually had a rough run against the Gunners. So it was a big one, and you were talking about easy games coming up, sir, if you remember correctly. So we've been doing this pod for a while. When Ole first got at the wheel, he had a really good run of fixtures. It's actually perfect time for him to hop in. Good result as well. Cobbled together 4 points in the league, depriving Chelsea of 2 points. And like you said, locking up at least no Hans and Franz, which is all I care about is not watching Thursday football. There's a lot to look forward to, sir. We got this Palace game. Let's go, boy. 6 a.m. I'm going to have a hard time
Everything
sleeping.
To play for. Look, it's like a new season.
Exactly.
There's new energy on the pod. We're pumped up.
I'm ready.
New season. Rangnick, let's go, sir. We're going from dark ales to pilsners, German pilsners. You're wearing your lederhosen in the bunker. We absolutely love
big
it.
Big Germans.
Quick PSA for the podcast. If you like the American Red Devils and you want to support independent fan content, check us out on Patreon. We just recorded our exclusive behind-the-scenes Patreon episode for November. We recap the entire month. We answer all your questions. If you're interested in more content and supporting us, check out our Patreon page, www.patreon.com/AmericanRedDevils. You can sign up for a few tiers. We give away pins, stickers, scarves, shirts, you name it. Check us out on Patreon. Your support goes a long way. Keeping the lights on here in the bunker. Also, check out our website, www.AmericanRedDevils.com. Amazing fan-generated blog content there. Also, click on store. We got our new hoodies in with the Stanley Chow badge logo design, as well as our 21-22 scarves. They are on sale. You get 20% off with code SIRMATT. Type that in. You get 20% off our 21-22 scarf. It has a quote from the great Matt Busby. Football is nothing without fans, so you love to see it. Tell them about iTunes reviews.
iTunes reviews, wow, I've been sending out a lot recently, sir. They're a great way to support the pod. They go a long way helping the American Devils get found organically, sir. And they're absolutely free. And we're giving out special holiday swag, sir. It's December. Holiday swag is on the way. And guess what? We're shipping anywhere in the world. Anywhere in the world. I just sent something to Norway. I sent something to Singapore. All you have to do, write a 5-star review on iTunes. Send a screenshot to AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com with your mailing address, and I will send you something. Sorry, U.S. Postal Service. 3 stamps anywhere in the world. Can you believe it? Support the pod. Great way to do it.
I cannot believe it. 3 stamps. That's all it takes, sir. Let's get into this match. Manchester United 3, Arsenal 2 at Old Trafford, sir. Game week 14. Starting 11, Dave saves world number one in net. Telles at left back. Maguire, Lindelof, center back pairing. Deleau at right back. McTominay, Fred, midfield two. You got the McFred with cheese, sir. Michael Carrick leaving his impression. Fernandez in the hole. Rashford on the left. Ronaldo, number 9. Sancho on the right, sir. What do you make of that starting lineup?
You know, it wasn't super surprising, but I was overall pleased with what I saw. You know, like, you're used to the McFred with cheese, but the formation came out, looked a little bit different. Like, McTominay looked in a proper holding, and maybe Fred would go a little bit more forward, which he had been seeing. Love the front three. And, hey, you know, it made me a little nervous to not have Telles and Deleau, but I was very excited. They played great today, in my book. You know, had a couple little things, but they were awesome today, and I think they're going to feature a lot more under Rangnick. What do you think of the 11, sir?
No, I didn't mind. Maguire, I thought I would like to see Bailly. He plays so well at Chelsea. I think he earned this match. But obviously, you know, Harry's available. Carrick's going to put him right in. You know, as far as the McFred with cheese, I'd like to see Donny in there with Fred. I think it opens things up against a team like Arsenal. Again, they were able to play through the line so easily. McFred, they're there to block that. But for some reason, We get played through so easily our midfield. You know, however we play, if Fred's going forward or they're both sitting in front of the back four, it doesn't instill a lot of confidence in me that those two are going to be able to play that position, lock it down like we can. So that's why I say play Donny, open it up a little bit. That was my only comment. But look, you know, sir, it started. It kind of looked a little rough. You want to get into it?
It was rough early, sir. Like you said, it came out pretty shaky. First minute, Rashford actually had a goal line clearance. They got an early corner, sir, and they looked dangerous from a couple of those corners. And then actually, other end, 8th minute, early, decent take from Deleau. One thing to be said, we didn't play great at times, but Arsenal were there for the taking. Like, this Arsenal team ain't that good, bro. Like, they got a couple of good players, but they ain't that good. 11th minute, Ronaldo with a great opportunity, but early in the game, sir, he had a couple of these, like, should have passed it, but took himself a shot, scuffed it. Probably had Sancho for a goal on this one, but United had it on the counter. Like, Arsenal were there, and this was an early chance at that, sir.
No, but still, like, early on, you know, like, Lindelof, Maguire playing out the back, no one knows what to do, who to pass to. We just didn't look like, no one on our team looks like they wanted the ball in the first 10 minutes. It's just, you're playing at Old Trafford. You don't want to be on the ball. It's just so frustrating to watch at times. And this is kind of where the whole, like, what is the plan here? Cause like, players are waving their arms. They don't know what to do. And it's just like, sorry, it's just a little frustrating from a fan perspective. Cause we've been watching this way too long. You know, it's just, like you said, we had him on the counter, but how do you get there? And the answer is you got to give him back the ball.
Which we did plenty of. And, you know, speaking of not instilling a lot of confidence, sir, I don't know what this was, but in the 13th minute, here we go.
Some quality corners already from Arsenal. And there's another one. Maguire, though, on the edge of the 6-yard box. And there's the shot, and it's a wonder goal, but it won't count.
Sir, I'm saving it. So they basically, De Gea was down. Smith Rowe kicks it in. Would have been saved if he didn't fall down. The VAR looks at it, basically like Fred clipped him, and then he just like went down, made a meal of it. Like, I don't think he was hurt. I don't know what happened. So I think he thought the other team ran into him and made a meal of it to try and like nullify the corner, but wasn't
great.
Sir,
this is our season in a nutshell.
Yeah, basically. This game was our season in a nutshell.
Which is basically like Fred stepping on De Gea thinking it's an Arsenal player, then going down like it's a foul, but he doesn't realize Fred is actually the calamity that got him. So like De Gea going down, you know, he goes down like that all the time, and keepers do that just to get the whistle. Now, as far as the timing of the whistle, that was shitty because it was blown before it went in the net. It would have been a goal, but as it is, VAR was right to concede. Now, the thing is with De Gea, it's like, and there was another moment, I forget who is it, Bruno did this. There's something in our team where it's like people go down to get the whistle,
yep,
and then they don't get it, and then it turns into like a huge counterattack opportunity. I think it was Bruno late in the game, like went down, didn't get the whistle, was really upset, but then it generated this counterattack for Arsenal. And this is a great example. Like, why go down and then try to get the whistle when you should just like get up and make sure the ball doesn't go in the net? You know, at the end of the day, that is your priority as a player, not to try to get whistles, but to ensure that you don't get hit on the counter or you don't let the ball in. So something about this, it's part of the team. You got to get this out of them because it's like, don't play for trying to get a whistle, play to the whistle.
Totally. And also like, you shouldn't have to go down to wake the fuck up, you know, like they went down and then they started playing better, right? 19th minute, Ronaldo scuffs another great chance from a counter. Most of our good chances were from counters. We had times broke a play in the middle, but they were also pretty scrappy with the ball. Like I said, not a great Arsenal team, sir. Tell us, actually, 35th minute, had a heavy touch from a very good Fred pass in the box. Key goes down, no pen, but then he redeemed himself 3 minutes later with a great tackle from Telus, sir. He had a great tackle. And like I said, both fullbacks impressed me today.
Yeah, and they need time. I want to say, like, you know, not to like criticize Ole, but you know, if you want to get Telus to play well, you got to give him a game to kind of work out the kinks. You know, the timing, a match day timing is different, you know, than training. So it's like Telus needs a game or needs minutes to get confidence, and then you build on that confidence. And the person who knew how to build that up very well was Sir Alex, right? And I just don't think these players like Delo and Telus have been allowed to get that. So they're going to be little wishy-washy when they start playing, and then they're going to sort their game out, you know, and then you're going to start seeing what the real player is. And so I did like Carrick playing. I credit to Carrick for playing these two. They did look, obviously, he was forced to, but, you know, he could have been more conservative in his decision-making. I did like to see them.
And credit to the players for grabbing hold of the opportunity and making the most of it, because they were both phenomenal. They looked great going forward, and they both made some big, big tackles. I think like Telus got caught out badly once in the second half. Fred made a huge block, but they played terrific, sir. And like those players, I think, went out to impress the new manager in the stands, and you could tell.
Yeah, and there's players there. You know, that's where you got to be rotating and making sure everyone, you know, gets a chance. Everyone can build confidence. Everyone can be available, because players are going to go down and you're going to need them to perform. So, you know, I shout out to them for a great performance. So let's get to that goal. I mean, not a lot going our way this half. You know, Arsenal didn't take advantage of the opportunity. They got that easy goal. But, you know, until this, I didn't think we were going to score.
Well, hey, you know who else wants to impress the new coach and has a knack for impressing new coaches? Bruno, sir, in the 44th minute.
Back, the ball pinged to him again. He found Sancho to Fred. The square ball! The equaliser! At last for Bruno Fernandes! Easily!
Sir, Bruno has something to say. Great little flick back from Fred. Unselfish, great assist from the Brazilian, but nice finish from Bruno. He's had a bit of a dry spell, sir, but like I said, he's got a knack for impressing his new coach. He did it with Ole. He came out fit and firing, and I have a feeling Rangnick is going to bring out the best in Bruno once again.
Shout out to Fred. I mean, like, stomps on De Gea, you know, like just classic Fred, right? And then comes up with this, like, you see the positioning of his body, how he's able to get that ball to Bruno is unbelievable. You know, playing him higher up the pitch, that might pay off. Obviously, they're not going to put him up there to chip the goalkeeper. But an assist like this is a worldly. So well done to Fred, sir. First half, 1-1. Hey, look, you know, arguably didn't deserve it. Both teams probably didn't deserve a goal. But look, if we're tied here. We're a second-half team. It was a shit first half, so you know we're going to play well in the second.
We did, not right away, but we did after a little bit, sir. In the 46th minute, Dave saves massive save from an early corner. Just like vintage stuff. 48th minute, Ronaldo with a great take, just absolutely send Ben White to the cleaners. Forcing, I can't remember their goalie's name at the moment, but forcing him to do good save, sir.
Ramsdale,
there you go. In the 52nd minute, someone said that this guy's no good, washed up, overrated.
Can't press,
Ballon d'Or. Here we go, baby. 52nd minute.
Foot, but now he's out of position. Rashford into Ronaldo! Cristiano Ronaldo once again in front of the Stretford end. 800 goals for club and country. A remarkable footballer.
Sir, that's the only one I have on the soundboard working at the moment, but what a nice goal from Cristiano Ronaldo having his say, sir. You can see how much it means to him. Love to see it. Needed that.
Sir, that was 800 goals for Cristiano Ronaldo. Obviously, we had the drama of the Ballon d'Or this week. He might not win the Ballon d'Or, but he's got 800 goals. Probably going to score the most all time. That's kind of a big deal, in my opinion. Sir, you know what? Great. We snatched the lead. Can we hold on, sir?
So this is such a United game. 55th minute, we couldn't hold on.
Here for Martinelli, first time ball. It's a cutback, it's an excellent opportunity, and it's 2-2, and it's...
I mean, we just cut to ribbons. Like, such a bad goal to concede. Can I just comment, by the way, we haven't said it yet, Arlo and Graham, just, they started off so painful. And then as United got into the game, they kind of simmered down, except Graham kept whining about the penalty. I know you thought it was a penalty with the Maguire pullback. I thought it was borderline, not too bad, but they kept talking about it.
I didn't think it was a penalty. I just think that it was rash from Maguire.
It was definitely rash.
One of these days, Maguire's our captain. You know, it's
for
like
now.
Maguire, like if Eric Bailly came in and starts pulling people down, almost getting penalties, like, yeah, par for the course. But it's Maguire, he should just have his head on his shoulders. He just came back from a red card and he's like, sir, it was like 1-1. And it was rough. I mean, like, he's lost his head at that minute. I like Harry Maguire. Like, you know, give me the Harry Maguire who plays for England. He seems to be all right. But like lately, he seems to be spiraling. You know, again, give up a goal in 3 minutes. Come on. This is just a shambles, sir. Let's go on. 60th minute, DeLow with another great tackle. And then obviously, sir, penalty shout. VAR gets it right. I thought VAR got a lot right, sir. Give me that Ronaldo penalty. 801. 801 goals. Cristiano Ronaldo.
So Atkinson doesn't call it, first of all. It was a clear pen.
He doesn't need to with VAR, you know?
No, that's true.
That has to be a penalty. And I think VAR are going to take a long look at that. Martin Atkinson over
to the
sideline. Clever by Fridges. He just steps across him. He knows, he can sense he's gone to ground. To give United their second lead of the game. Straight run up. Ronaldo, 801!
That's what you hear echoing around Old Trafford, sir. We needed that goal. We needed that pen. Fred, what a dude. He played so well. He played like the best 50 60 minutes of football we've ever seen from him at Manchester United. But what a player Ronaldo is, sir. What a player. And what a pen. He hit that. I was shouting, sir. I love that pen. He just banged it down the center, bro. That was amazing. I needed that. United needed that. That was like a fuck you, Arsenal pen. That was amazing.
Yeah, shout out to the American Red Devils fan, bro. It's like, that was like we needed that, dude. Like Arsenal, like... Dude, who do they think they are, bro? Like, get out of here. Like, it's been at our worst, we're still better than Arsenal. So, like, have a laugh. 78th minute, amazing save by De Gea, but Aubameyang was off, sir. Can you say his name?
No.
Don't make me
try. Aubameyang. Sorry, fuck you.
79th minute, Lingard for Rashford. Lingard looks like he's had a few too many meat pies. Like, honestly, like, he looked like he put on like a solid 10 over Thanksgiving to eat that ham that Alex sent him. 87th minute, great block from Fred. Massive block from Fred. Again, got stretched. We were out of sorts here. Couldn't really break. Sancho had an opportunity. Bruno had an opportunity. We couldn't put him to the death, but we were going for it, sir. Attack, attack, attack. And then Martial for Ronaldo and Van de Beek for Bruno. That was it, sir. We won. Big 3 points. Exactly what we needed. Stat sheet. Shots on target for Manchester United, 10 to Arsenal's 8. Possession, they have 56% to our 44%. It was on like Donkey Kong in the second half, though. That was really, we dug deep. Ronaldo is an absolute legend. Imagine what we could do with him if we actually were organized. The criticism of Ronaldo, it's like, how can you criticize him? It's just, he's the reason we're in the knockout stages of the Champions League. He's the reason we won this game. He's an absolute baller, a player. You know, he probably can't play every game, but when he does play, you can't doubt that he's going to show up for Manchester United. And I'm going to go in the match reaction. Ronaldo scores the 800th goal of his professional career for the club and country, scoring 129 of those for Manchester United, 5 for Sporting, 450 for Madrid, 101 for Juventus, and 115 for Portugal. Unbelievable. And Bruno Fernandes is the first player to score on his 100th competitive appearance for Manchester United since Antonio Valencia versus Blackburn in 2012. Unbelievable. Shout out to Tony Valencia.
The tank.
And Manchester United have conceded 9 consecutive Premier League goals at Old Trafford without scoring themselves in between. Their longest run of goals conceded without reply since 1961. Sir, that's a low. And Jadon Sancho made 7 ball recoveries versus Arsenal, which is the most of any Manchester United forward has made in a Premier League match this season. I think Sancho's starting to grow into it.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to do great under Rangnick. Checking out the table. What does that do for us? We're 7th at 21 points, tied with Wolves. Tottenham, lads, is Tottenham is 22 points. Arsenal with 23. West Ham with 24. Sir, we're 3 off the mark.
Right in it.
Exactly. I mean, that is exactly where we want to be. Tottenham have a game in hand, though, but 3 points off of it. Rangnick's coming in. Easy fixture schedule, sir. By the end of December, we could be top 4. Honestly, you look at Moise at West Ham, Arteta at Arsenal, and then I don't even know. Oh, is that Conte at Tottenham? Bottle jobs.
All of them.
West Ham, Arsenal, Tottenham. You can't do better than that against the fixtures we got. Come on. Let's go, United, sir. Let's hear from the manager. His last match, Michael Carrick.
Thank you very much, Michael. Yes, after 15 years as player and an interim manager, you've decided to say goodbye. Just explain the decision.
Yeah, it's not been an easy one to make, to be honest. But I feel it's the right one. I'm content with my decision. I feel quite happy. I was meant to take some time off after I finished playing, and I promised the family that we'd have some time together, and it's never happened. And I think I've thrown myself into to work in here for so long that it just feels like it's the right time to step away. I mean, it's, you know, I'll be back around the place. I'm not disappearing, but yeah, it's just the right time. I mean, what a way to finish. It's a perfect night, really.
When did you make the decision? And it's your decision, correct? Not the club's decision?
Yeah, 100% my decision, yeah. 100% my decision. Over the last week, really, a little bit, it was creeping in, and I was conscious and I respected the club, and I respected the new manager coming in, that I wanted to make the decision before I had any contact with him or spoke to him. There was no crossover whatsoever. And I thought it was the right thing to do for the club as much as for Ralph. And and yeah, once I made the decision, that was final, and I was quite happy with that too.
I mean, some people had said Michael Carrick should have left with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Was that in your mind as well? Was that a factor in this decision?
No. Well, listen, it's easy to say that, and yeah, there was a big part of me is to do that, but at the same point, we were in a situation where there was a responsibility for me to see these three games
sure,
through.
But was it a factor in your decision now, that loyalty, if you like, with Ollie?
A little bit, yeah. Of course it was, because I owe Ollie an awful lot. Gabriel, there's a lot of things that kind of come into my decision. You know, it wasn't an easy one, and I just said to the players and the staff there of the way we've worked together, and we've, you know, good people in there. Sometimes you get what you deserve, sometimes you don't. You know, we've worked so hard to try and bring some success here in recent years, and you know, it's hard to take when you don't quite get to them heights. But great times, great memories. Proud of the players over the last three games, and tonight, give everything. And you know, in some ways, it was the perfect night. But it's not about me; it's about the players in the club.
Did the players know before?
Sorry, sir. He got pressed on whether, you know, he should have left when Ole left, and I thought Carrick had a class answer. Carrick, I think he's handled stuff with class, and I think this is the ultimate show of class. Stepping out, what he did. I bet he wanted to step out with Ole, but they're like, the Glazers are like, hey, we got nothing. We're trying to figure that out, dude. Just keep it afloat. And to be said, he kept it afloat. Two wins, a draw, and bowing out at the right time, dude. Get a win. They know the permit got approved. They know he's going to be in for Sunday. Dude, it's a class move from a class player that we grew up with, sir, who's a great player and seems like a really good man. So, sir, let's go, baby. Rangnick, we trust, but end of the Michael Carrick era, three games, but a class act.
Hey, I'll tell you what. A great man knows not to overstay his welcome.
Exactly.
You
know? Exactly.
You know, it's just one of those things, sir, where, you know, I think a young man, you crash on your friend's couch for like 6 days, and then like he's like, you know.
6 months all of a sudden.
You know, like, yeah, it's just like, you know, not to overstay your welcome. Carrick, literally, he did it. He like two like sort of like failing regimes, and he kind of knew
it was good. I'm good.
No, but he got, dude, three good games. Like, look at me in the suit. I look decent. I think he took a page out of Ole's suit book there, and he's hireable now. I mean, think about himself, branding himself. Yeah, I think it's more about what he wants to do, which is like, look, I don't want to be like a junior coach at United forever. He wants to like be a manager. I think he. Sure, I think he can go on and play hero ball somewhere else. He'll do very well. But look, it's all about Ralf Rangnick. Look, nobody's got it right. You can't dog all these managers. They've all tried like really, really hard, sir. And since Sir Alex Ferguson's left, we always knew it was going to be difficult, but nobody has got it right. You can hear all those quotes in the intro to start the podcast.
Hopefully, you know, they don't add Rangnick for a while.
Sir, we're adding Rangnick. We're adding somebody else. We're probably adding somebody else. But look, the good news is 3 points off top four. Rangnick comes in Sunday, December 5th, 6 a.m. Crystal Palace. Let's go, sir. Absolutely buzzing for this game. We owe Crystal Palace one, sir. Absolutely. They've had a good run against us. Also, Vieira connection. You know, you've seen that tunnel footage. We got Crystal Palace Sunday. Then it's Young Boys Wednesday. That'll be easy one. A lot of rotation, I bet, there. Then we're going to rest up for Norwich, who we're going to batter. Then Brentford, who Tottenham beat. Then Brighton, 4:30 a.m. December 18th. How dare you, 4:30 a.m. for Brighton. That's going to be a tough one. Newcastle, Boxing Day. Another great fixture. Eddie Howe's not doing great there. And then we have Burnley, December 30th. So December shaping up to be a big month with winnable fixtures, sir. I mean, who are you afraid of on that list? Brighton? I'm more, you know, I'm saying like
Palace.
Realistically,
Palace is the best team probably, and then Brighton are pretty good, but Palace are probably playing the best football. Sorry, it's Boxing Day plus one. We're not playing on Boxing Day for the first time since I can remember. We're playing the 27th.
You are correct. You are correct. But yeah, either way, just Rangnick's coming in. Let's see how he does. Let's see what he comes up with. I don't envy him. There's a lot of work to do, and he's coming in a hasty manner. Let's break down Crystal Palace. Like I said, Sunday, December 5th, 6 a.m. Pacific, 9 a.m. Eastern. lifetime versus the Eagles, sir. We've won 38, drawn 12, lost 9, sir. You ever been? I absolutely love Crystal Palace just because we go to London, been to a few games there. It's a great stadium. It's old London Stadium, sir. South London's number one. Crystal Palace, they always come out fighting.
Sorry, I went to half a game there.
you remember half a game there.
I went to half a game, at least close to half.
So, look, Crystal Palace are playing well coming into it. They did lose to Leeds recently. They lost to Leeds. They lost to Villa. They drew Burnley. They beat Wolves, sir. They beat City. And they drew Newcastle. So, I mean, everyone's saying they're playing well, but I think it's just Palace. You know, they're all over the board at the end of the day. So, you know, probably the most dangerous team on that list, like you said, maybe them and Brighton. But Rangnick's first game, it is kind of a gimme. If he loses, like, you know, it doesn't matter, right? But you'd like to start off with a W. It is at home. And Crystal Palace did beat us at home last year. Was it 3-0, I think?
3-1. You're spot on. Sir Donny van de Beek scored in that game. He might play in this game. He probably definitely will play. But it's a big game. Like you said, first of his reign. It's a pretty good start to his reign, right, in terms of the difficulty of fixtures, similar to when Ole took over. So that bodes well. And this is probably one of the harder matches right out the gate, sir. But like you said, they've been up and down. They had some big results. There's certainly the hype around the team. They actually look pretty good against Leeds. IU is a dangerous player. And Benteke, like, misses. He's like Werner, dude. He'll miss like one or two tap-ins a game. Had a bunch of goals he should have scored. So they're a dangerous team, sir. But we know who they are, right? They're going to defend well, compact, dangerous on the counter, right? Zaha's got a point to prove. From whatever he did to Moise's daughter way back when, sir. He pissed
allegedly,
him off.
Allegedly.
I know.
Allegedly.
I'm just kidding.
History on Crystal Palace. I love the history on Palace.
Yeah.
Formerly created as a professional outfit in 1905, the club's origins can be traced as far back as 1861 when an amateur Crystal Palace football team was established at the Crystal Palace Exhibition Building, which has led to claims by the club that Crystal Palace should be recognized as the oldest professional football club in the world after historians discovered a direct lineage through their ownership under the same Crystal Palace company. 1861, sir. That's unbelievable. They could be the oldest football club in the world. 1924, they moved to their current home, Selhurst Park. Looks like it was built in 1924. Sorry, it's got that old English vibe.
It does.
But, you know, when you go to stadiums, you like that sort of vibe. It's close. You know, a winter game there outside is unbelievable. Their club's kit is claret and blue. You can't hate on the claret and blue. They've only been wearing that since 1973. Big rivalry with Brighton and Hove Albion. They contest the M23 Derby with them. They also share rivalries with fellow South London clubs like Millwall and Charlton Athletic, sir. Lots of different clubs in London. They have the rivalries. Interesting, they hate Brighton and Hove Albion. That's, you know, obviously, I'm sure Millwall and Crystal Palace don't get along either, but the M23 Derby, it's probably just because they're doing well. They've been playing the 4-3-3, sir. Obviously, Zaha playing number 9, most recently. Interesting, IU is still in the starting 11. Schlupp, sir, Kouyaté. I mean, they're a dangerous side. I'm not so worried about it, sir. I'm just more interested. I think this is one where sometimes you focus on opposition. Sometimes you focus on yourself. This is one where it's like, what is Rangnick going to do? What is his formation? Who is he going to play? I'm more worried about us and how we look under a new manager than I'm worried about Crystal Palace. I just think that that's how Rangnick's going to deal with it as well. Physio room, who's going to be available? Varane, this one keeps leaking. He's not coming back. Cavani as well. And then Luke Shaw. I mean, this one, the Shaw one's rough. Serious concussion. Day to day, you know, they're trying to evaluate him, trying to get him back, but you can't rush head injuries. Oof,
he had a couple. That's a tough one.
It was like 2 games in a row. Arguably, he probably shouldn't have been playing because of it, but, you know, in this day and age in football, you know, European football, they do not take concussions seriously. So he's just right back in it. And then this could really create a serious one. dude, it's months to get back, then to go to contact. So Luke Shaw, you could see him out for a while. I mean, they're not going to say it, but based on how hard the shots he took and how quickly they were together, look out for Luke Shaw not being involved. But hopefully Varane and Cavani can come back soon, and then Pogba. Sir, he's hanging out in Dubai. I guess on that new deal. What is your lineup? What's your lineup giving those injuries?
So this is what I got. Rangnick ball, baby. Here we go. It's going to be De Gea and net. Who else? Deleau, Bailly, Maguire, Telles. I'm going to do Fred, Donny van de Beek, Bruno, Rashford, Ronaldo, Sancho. Sir, I like that front three all day. Who you got?
Saka's out, right? That was on the injury sheet, but he's not available.
He wasn't on the injury sheet, but I think he was taken off the injury sheet because they think he's going to be available.
All right, then I'm going to say De Gea, Aaron Wan-Bissaka in. Aaron Wan-Bissaka is not going to be in net. He's going to be a right back. By Lindelof, I'm going to say Telles. We're going to see McFred with cheese, sir. Fred, McTominay. Then we're going to see Donny, Bruno, Sancho, and Ronaldo. Rashford's droppable, sir. I like the false nine. Bruno playing a false nine, or basically playing in a hole behind two strikers. I think that is the way to do it for Rangnick. It'll be interesting. He was playing the 4-2-2-2. So you know, you can see something like that. I just think he's going to want to see two holding midfielders, and then you're just going to have probably like two number 10s like Donny and Bruno, and then two number 9s. I think that would be exciting. Obviously, it's just going to be hard for him to get rid of Fred McTominay. You know, if that's the way they've been playing, he might play that for the first couple of games. I just don't want fans to like freak out about that. Sir, give us the odds from the bookies.
So the odds, we got United, heavy favorites, minus 190. We got a draw at plus 350. And if you favor Palace, hey, I might have taken this bet if I was excited on Rangnick, but it's plus 550 for the Eagles to get a win at Old Trafford like they did last year, sir. I'm feeling up for it. First goal scorers, we got who else? Cristiano Ronaldo plus 240. They think Cavani's going to be back. He's next 360. Bruno at plus 430. Mason plus 450. I miss him. Jesse ain't scoring nothing. Plus 500. Martial plus 500, sir. Given that, what's your score prediction against the Eagles on Sunday?
I like 2-1. 2-1 to Manchester United.
Sir, 3-0. Ralph's at the wheel, baby. Ralph's Red Army. Let's go, baby. Come on. Muppet.
I like Ralph's Red Army. Oh, yeah. You know, page out of LVG, sir. Let's go. United in the news. United in the news. Michael Carrick. I think we heard from him. My time at this great club will always rank as the best years of my career. I've decided that now is the right time for me to leave the club. I'd like to wish Ralph Rangnick, the staff, the players, and the fans the best in the future. Class act, Carrick steps down. Rangnick is the man at Manchester United. So I think we're good on the music. It's like, I can't hear myself think.
You know, like, it's the news, bro.
Yeah, DJ.
DJ Alex, you're not getting Hans and Franz, so I wanted to give you a little taste of that just to remind you of what you got, sir. Thanksgiving.
So look, Carrick's out. Rangnick's in. His visa's good. He's locked in. He's going to be there. Crystal Palace, you love to see it. Apparently, people are talking about him targeting signings. Like, what do you... Like, when people are saying, like, Rangnick's going to get Haaland, Rangnick's going to get this, like, what you smoking? It's like, what are you smoking?
Rangnick's I heard he has a like, bonus in his clause. I mean, that might be total mob. I didn't even make the news, sir. There was so
you
much
see
news.
It? See the contract?
In Daily Mail. No, of course I didn't see the contract. What is it? Have you ever seen the contract, any of these players? No. It's all noise.
So but tell me about this bonus.
So I just thought it's funny, sir. £8 million if he's able to land Haaland. Apparently, he gets an £8 million bonus. I mean, it could be preposterous, but this club is run by Muppets.
Okay. Haaland's from Norway.
I get that, but
Ole was going to get Haaland.
But there's also a Ralph Connect.
Didn't get here. Just hold on. Murtaugh was going to get Haaland for £3 million.
I know.
Then Ole was going to get Haaland, and Manchester United allegedly offered more money, and he ended up going to Dortmund. So Ole was going to get Haaland, and Ole was going to get Haaland again, and they're from Norway, which makes sense. Rangnick is in with Haaland. I don't understand. Clearly, we want Haaland. Who doesn't want Haaland? And here's the thing. You know how BS the press is like, Rangnick is going to try to get Haaland. Yes, of course, you can't dispute he is going to try. Every team that can afford him is going to try to get him. Where he goes, you know, nobody knows, sir. At the end of the day, I think he's going to think about who's going to be winning serious silverware is going to be the motivation. Also, needs a lot of green. I'm not going to be thinking about Rangnick signings at all. I just think we're not signing anyone in January. Players are going to leave in January, sir. And they're just going to see how this project works. And then this summer, new manager. There's a lot to do, but you shouldn't be buying players with an interim manager. That doesn't make sense to me. He's got to figure out what he's got, assess, and then make the appropriate moves. Other than, you know, the players I just got to go in January, like Lingard and Pogba. Barcelona approached Cavani. Cavani's not healthy. So if he was healthy, it wasn't planned. I get this, but Barcelona just sound like they're out of ideas. What a meltdown there. Again, it could be worse. Could be Barcelona. The big one for me is Messi winning the Ballon d'Or. Should have went to Lewandowski, you know. Sir, how do you feel about the Ballon d'Or? You did predict the future on the pod. You said Messi won it.
I told you. I knew he would. Because it's not a real award anymore. It's kind of become a farce. And like you said, Lewandowski, it has. It's like, look at the players that have won it recently. It's like, all right, yeah, everybody loves Messi. But it's kind of just like, it's so dependent on individual team success in said year. Like, yeah, Jorginho is like top five. It's just kind of silly
now.
No, but
Barca didn't win like it's anything. Like Barca did, and Messi's not playing well, and he went to PSG.
Made no sense, bro.
It's like, yeah, he won the Copa America. He didn't score in the semifinal, didn't score in the final of the Copa, which was the leading score of the tournament. But still, it's like, is that important? Jorginho like won the Euros. It's the most huffy puffy like French award of all time, dude. It's like all politics. That's why they just got a big, you know what, for Messi. They just give him the trophy as much as they can because everyone hates Ronaldo. It really has turned into like a popularity contest ultimately, totally. And it is partially a popularity contest because players do vote for it. But it's just a racket, dude. I think the more it goes this way, the less serious people are going to. It used to hold a lot more weight before it was like the Ronaldo Messi trophy. Now it's just kind of gone that way. Jumping to fan questions. At Jared United, quote, an exciting comeback, the perfect example of Ole ball for Rangnick to see with his own two eyes. Is this officially the end of Ole & Co? Is the farewell tour coming to an end? Top four in a trophy. Let's roll, Ralph.
Sir, top dude, farewell tour is over. That was November, was Ole and the gang. And you know what? Now with Carrick out, it's like he could do it proper. Bring in his assistant. The guys that are left, he'll make use of them, dude. Because it's like, it's all about his philosophy now. And you know what? It might take the assistants a bit of time. It's going to take the players a bit of time. Because you know what? Everything's going to take time. And I think that's the point. We can't expect much this year. Hopefully just some better football and improvement. Organization, like you talked about. Come out with intent. Come out for 90 minutes. Play some good football. That's all we want to see.
At Lou_Dav77, quote, love the new American Red Devils hoodie. Big ups to you, Lou, for picking that up. Check out the store at www.americadevils.com. You want to pick yours up while they're in stock. So the hoodies are absolute fire. And he says, should Carrick have stepped down? I think it was a class move. We both agree. It's like, didn't overstay his welcome. You know, he got the bump. He got good results. And I think he's going to be a full-time manager. At you, Boson, quote, big thanks to Carrick. Big respect for taking this role on. Players obviously appreciated that. And leaving once the board finally got themselves sorted out. Great season-saving win also. Viva Ronaldo. I like that. At the Alex Davis 33, quote, impressed with Telus and DeLow. DeLow in particular offers more going forward than AWB and looks to improve defensively. Ronaldo is just inevitable. And Carrick has done the right thing to give Ralph some momentum to build on. I think he has a bright future ahead of him as a manager, sir. I totally agree. And we're going to end on this one. At Rolling the Deep 1995, quote, excellent win, showed desire and composure. Carrick did an admirable job with this team, and we were in good shape for Ralph to take over. Bruno silenced the haters, and Ronnie became Mr. Premier League. 3 points secured. Let's go, sir. I think I speak for all United fans when, like, let's go. New season begins Sunday. Cannot wait. Ralph on the sideline. Sir, I'm a fan. We give you that biased fan take, but I, you know, I'm pumped about it.
Sir, everything to play. We got everything to play for, literally, other than the EFL Cup. You know, We're still in it. 12 points, baby. The Muppet and me. You're saying there's a chance. But you know what? I just want to prove it. I'm excited. I think everyone's excited. Let's go. I cannot wait. 6 a.m., like I said. Usually, 6 a.m. is tough. I'm going to have a hard time sleeping, sir. I'm going to be pumped. Let's go.
Sir, I got to jump. You're going to be able to take this podcast out by yourself.
Alex is at the wheel. Let's go, baby. John, enjoy. I'll talk to you.
Hey, big shout out to all the American Red Devils. You guys are the real MVPs. Hope everyone had a good Thanksgiving holiday. Bring on Ralph. Cannot wait. Let's kill Crystal Palace. Let's go.
Sir, Ralph's Red Army. Big game of the weekend, and big ups to all the American Red Devils out there. Shout out. We're talking top cities last 7 days. Couldn't do without you. We lost one Norwegian, but it seems like the Norwegians are still listening in strong. Appreciate you all. Number one, how you doing? How you doing? Ralph House, Norway. Number two, Allison Park, PA. Lillehammer, Norway. Oslo, Norway. Three in the top five. Appreciate you. Clearwater, Florida. Los Angeles, California. Brooklyn, New York, Cartersville, Georgia, Columbus, Ohio, Islington, UK, and last but not least, Chicago, Illinois. Appreciate all the American Devils listening week in, week out. We could not do it without you. Hey, Ole era comes to an end. Carrick era comes to an end. On to the next one. Here comes Ralph Rangnick. We're going to get the name right eventually. Big game this weekend. Sending you out with a little Viva Ronaldo. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the rest of your week. Let's go. Viva Ronaldo. Viva Ronaldo. Viva Ronaldo.